sent me your holy name.
Praise the man.
there, Brother Durham. I said, we're here, so what are we going to do? But God is good to us to allow us to be gathered tonight.
Take up an offering.
Do something religious, yeah. I appreciate, I was telling Brother Painter, his inspiration Sunday about the Holy Ghost and God's Spirit. And I was thinking about, and maybe Jeremiah that said, you know, that said, let the wise man not glory in his wisdom, and the mighty man not glory in his might, and the rich man not glory in his riches. But he said, this is, but glory in this, that you understand and knoweth God. And I was thinking, he was talking about the Spirit of God, and I started thinking about, you know, understanding and knowing God. I don't know, just in the, I don't know if you can really, a natural man, a carnal man, can understand and know God. I think it's going to take the Spirit of God to help us to know God and to understand God. It's going to take the Spirit of God to do that. And I was just so, sometimes, you know, you look, I've been reading, of course, I'm in Jeremiah, so anyway, I was looking at how God was dealing with his people. You know, of course, the children of Israel sinned and didn't obey God's law, and of course, he had promised destruction upon them, and what all he's going to do to them, all these natural calamities and things that he was going to do. But yet he, and I was saying that, you know, God still, that don't sound too spiritual. But what it, to me, I was thinking that these natural things that God do allow to happen to us, sometimes it causes us to turn more in a spiritual direction to God. And he was, and even Jeremiah in pronouncing these things on the children of Israel, he also pointed out, you know, that, you know, the God's heart, you know, heart of man, you know, how he said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And he also said that God was going to, you know, one day in the future, write his law in their hearts and put it in their minds. And, of course, Paul picks up on that in Hebrews a couple of times in Hebrew, that he says it one way and then he said it the other way about instead of writing it in your heart and put it in your mind, he showed that God will write it in your mind and put it in your heart. You know, way Paul wrote that both ways. And I understand Brother Smith was telling us that, you know, that's where our heart, you know, our mind, that's where God deal with us a lot, is in our mind. And how that he, and I think that's how we're going to be able to work spiritually with God and be able to lean on God's Spirit to help us in what we're doing, because we're born naturally. We are, you know, like somebody said, we're up to our eyeballs in flesh. So naturally, we're going to do things just automatically. You know, it's going to be probably carnal. But we're learning to not just go on our natural feelings about things. We're learning to lean on the Lord and begin to pray and to get help God show us and help us. You know, God can show us, you know, the error of our way. He can show us what we're not just not doing, but he can also show us what to do. You know, we need to know what to do. And I was thinking also that there are some things I've found out. You know, I know about God now. You know, I know God. God moves by humility. You know, if you humble yourself, you know, that moves God. Humility, just that alone. And then, you know, that scripture, I mean, in Isaiah, maybe several places, that talks about God not despising a broken and a contrite spirit. You know, God does not despise that. You know, he honors that. He likes that. That's what touches God. And then knowing that God wants us to begin to put our trust in him. And and to not, you know, when we don't know what to do, when we're up against a wall and don't have any other choice. And he said, when you've done all to stand, therefore stand, you know. Stand anyway, you know, because we're to learn to trust God in our life. And that's what I appreciate that about this people is learning. I think Brother Durham explained to us one time about trust and faith. One of them is the vehicle. Is that the one? Which one is the vehicle? For trust? Trust is the vehicle. Yes, that'll take us. Show you where you're going. Keep you on the road. Directs your path. And I don't know if y'all heard him, but trust gets us there, the vehicle to get us there. And then faith will show us and give us the direction where we're going. You know, we need to know. You know, like I say, we're learning things about the Lord and about God. And that's why we meet like we do in church and fellowship with one another. And sometimes even doing that, you know, you not only, you know, God doesn't directly talk to most of us, but one another. You know, we get things from one another. And I kind of look at it like a group. They call them, like these people getting off alcohol and stuff, they call them I'm saying a group. They call it when they meet together. It's you know, you help one another. Support group. You go, yeah, that's good. I mean, and that's what we do. You know, we and sometimes even, you know, you have some thoughts about God and what to do sometimes, but then you hear somebody else give that testimony, and you'll start thinking. You know, you'll say, well, why didn't I think of that? You know. Because you can't think of everything. I just remember being in the workforce and working on a problem, and you get stumped. I mean, you just done all you can do. You don't have, you've exhausted all your ideas you got about fixing something, and you just kind of like run into a wall, a brick wall, and then here's somebody come along that wasn't looking at it like you were looking at it, and they look at it and they'll say, "Have you thought of this? Have you considered this?" And you thought, "No, I didn't think about that." We can't think of everything. We're just natural people, and we can't not. You know, that's why God have us in a group, because we need one another. We need to depend on one another and begin to realize that I can't do this, you know. And Jeremiah, again, I was reading where he talked about man. He said that it's not in man. I can't remember here. Somebody, he can't. I know there's a script to talk about. He can't direct a step, but that this one he was talking about, he cannot, you know, do his fix himself. You know, it's not in man. You know, it's going to take God and His people. You know, and that's why, and I appreciate that, to know that. And I sometimes, you know, you might feel real good about your accomplishments and whatever you do, But you have to realize that we need one another greatly. And to know that, like you said, support group, know that somebody cares. You know, even tonight, my wife was talking to Sister George. She's kind of under the weather, and I don't know, she got pretty serious. A lot of pain. I just overheard the conversation. But anyway, pray for her. I just think of people, you know, that depends on your prayer. I remember one time Brother Tucker gave a story, but anyway, you know, just starting out in the church, they hadn't had the church that long, the old building, and he was renting it from this man. And this Sunday night, they was taking up an offering to help pay the rent on the building, and I mean, he was struggling to get the money for the rent, and he just barely got it. And then when he got down there to pay the man the rent, and he told Brother Tucker, he said, "Well, Reverend, I was counting on you." He was counting on him. And Brother Tucker was saying that like, "Man, I barely made it, you know." And yet he was counting on it. And there are people that are counting on you. You know, they are counting on your prayers and your stability and your faithfulness. You know, how that you are going to be there for them. And so we need to do that. We need to consider that and be able to, you know, of course, we know that if somebody give you, you know, too much praise, just tell them that it's just by the mercy of God. You know, it's by the mercy of God that we all, you know, do what we do. And that's what I do. I just start thanking God is just your mercy. Your mercy. You know, we in this world, you know, the longer I live, I get to see, you know, here we going to a funeral this coming Saturday. Young man, you know, my cousin. But anyway, just young people, you know, you kind of expect old people to leave the scene. But some of the young people, you think, well, you know, you think, well, you know, I don't have a chance. But anyway, our only chance we have is in God. That's the way I look at it is if we do have a chance, it's because of God, because of his mercy, because he has done something for us. He's done something in our lives. And I think of God can have his hand on our life. And I was thinking about Ezra. You know, when Nehemiah and Ezra came, I think I'm trying to get the one that built the one built the wall, the one would have to build a temple. I guess it's Nehemiah building a temple, a wall. But anyway, I think it was Nehemiah. When he came, the king sent him with a group of soldiers, you know, to protect him as he went over to Jerusalem. But Ezra, he told the king that the hand of God was on his life. And the king offered him some soldiers to take with him. But he said, no, I won't do this because I already told the king, you know, that the hand of God is up on me. You know, God is going to take care of me. And that's what he did. And God did take care of him. You know, that's the kind of confidence, you know, that he had with God, is that God told me to do this. His hand is up on me. And he told the king that, and he didn't accept his protection of soldiers being sent with him. So anyway, I think we can have that on our life. We can live where the hand of God can be up on our life. And that's where we want to live. I appreciate Brother Payne encouraging us, you know. Let's do it. You know, let's be the one. Let's answer the call. Let's answer the heed, you know, the heed to call that God is calling up to. He's calling out for people, you know, to be able to measure up. And why not, you know? I want to be in that number. I want to be a part of the people of God that answers the call, that are going to live for God, you know, in this world. And that's what I want to be a part of, is somebody that's going to want to be what God wants us to be. You know, they say about the Marine, one of the branches, that, you know, be what you can. What is the one that be all that you can be, or something like that. But anyway, let's be what God wants us to be, and be the people that God is calling. Answer his call. So anyway, it's good to be here tonight. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Jeremiah 10:23. That's right. It's not in me. It's not in me. So I shouldn't be looking for it to happen in me by my ingenuity or whatever. But anyway, it's going to be God. It's going to be God that do this. We rely on the Lord, and we answer that. We agree to that. We welcome that God is the one that's going to help us. If we make it, it's going to be because of him. We sang a song about that. You know, if we make it, it's going to be all because of him. So anyway, I want to make it. I'm just want to tell you that. I'm one of them that want to make it. I want to be a part of what God is doing. When a roll is called up yonder, I want to be up yonder. You know, be there where the roll is being called. That's where I want to be. Oh, God, I'm so thankful tonight to be here. Brother Painter said we were still riding on the high from the youth meeting. So let's continue. You know, let's not let up now. You know, let's not slack the reins. We're gonna keep going. See what the Lord would have for us. So anyway, let's mention Sister Joyce, let's mention Brother Smith. He's still in the Dominican Republic, and let's pray for him. I don't know how long he gonna be there, but I'm sure he'll be there until the Lord tell him to come home. Okay. Okay. Very good. Sister Dolores, I'm going to pray for her. Sister June Hart, I'm sure several people know who that is. So anyway, just remember her. Wanted to be here tonight until said it should be here Sunday. And okay. On your property. The family. All right. Remember that request. Who that? Some other sister that was here Sunday said she'd be here. She would be here this coming Sunday. Is that right? That was sitting next to my wife. She said I can't hear it, but anyways. I was trying to get this. Then she said she'd be here this coming Sunday. Okay. Well, that's all you can go by. I mean, you know, that's between her and God. You know, if she said she'd be here, then if she's not here, then, you know, no problem. But anyway, we're trying to encourage everybody. You know, we want to, you know, try to get people to fellowship with us because, you know, we don't say we have it all, but we're trying to work for God. This is God's kingdom, and we want to work for him. We're not trying to do our own things here. We're just trying to work for God and lift him up and show brother one of the band numbers they played during the youth meeting. It was like show the world, you know, how wonderful he is. I mean, it was a great song. I thought, and singing to young and these young people playing it, of course. But anyway, being in a youth meeting, now who else could show the world, you know? Young people, you know, show the world, you know, what God is all about and how wonderful he is. You know, and that's we talk about it, you know, but not only it's just words that we speak, but it's our lives that we live, you know, and that not only I can tell you all day long, but what about, you know, when I'm under the test, when things are going against the grain and not going the way I think it ought to go, just, you know, be examples, you know, to everybody, to unbelievers and everybody. But anyway, let's remember these needs. Do we have any others, Sister Julie? Josh Angel. Okay. All right. I'll remember that. And Sister Ann. Okay. All right. Remember Brother McGowan. Pray for him. These needs that we have. Somebody else over there. But anyway, let's remember. Yes. Sister Elva. Remember Sister Elva in Fort Worth. That Fort Worth, yeah. What about is it Andrew? It's Andy. He's still need prayer. Remember her son-in-law, Andy. All right. Anything else? Any other? Yes. No. All right. August. Remember Brother Daniels, pray for him. He has a procedure at the VA. Brother Weiniger, still, he's here. So good to have him here. And keep praying for him. God will lift him up. I guess Sister Ogden is, you're here, right? All right. Keep praying for it, she'll think it's settled. Okay. Remember him. All right. All right. Anything else? Not other needs. So let's stand and take these needs to the Lord. And then I guess we'll do the offering, brother. And I don't know.
Lord, we thank you this time, Lord, for having this time, this opportunity, Lord, to come before you, Lord. Pray that you help your people on their needs. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you. Precious Savior. Precious Savior. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Nothing but a way-worn pilgrim traveling for Jerusalem, seeking for a happy home in heaven far beyond the shadow's den. I have nothing but my faith in Jesus and His everlasting grace, and of the mansion yonder I'm gonna find a resting place. Well, I am just a pilgrim, but it seems I've traveled all alone.
But you know, I was thinking when that brother was talking about if it's first in your mind, then it enters your heart. How many of us, we send our children to school and we send our children, our precious children, the things they learn the quicker, because that's what will stick with you when you whenever I was just a small child, I remember, I can't even hardly remember, I was so young, so maybe two, maybe three, but the Sunday school, it was a church in Corona, California, and I remember getting a Bible because I'd had a perfect year of never missing. And it was before the Second World War, and of course when the war came, everything changed. You know, we had to go to church out there closer to home. But then there in Corona, it was maybe 2.5 miles to church. But that's the first thing you learn. What we teach our children when they are real young is what will stick with the children. And sometimes it can be the wrong thing. Sometimes it can be the right thing. Michelle and Nathan were raised as twins. And I won't even go into all the funny things that happened. but there was a lot of learning take place, you know, and you don't realize that you're, I was watching the twins a while ago and thinking how that they have grown, how they are learning. If we get our children young enough, our children, it'll be planted. I really appreciate, Brother, what you had to say. If you get it in your mind first, then it can enter your heart. So I'm real glad to be here, and I plan to stay. So hope you all can put up with me, because I sold my house, and I sold the house last week, and I'm down here, and got the dog and the cat, and I'm kind of short on clothes because we left some of our clothes behind. But anyway, so I'm really glad to be here, and I'm just looking forward to a future here in church.
You got to come to church tonight, didn't you? Brother Painter inspired me the other night. We all know about the nasty now, don't we? And that's part of it, you know. I mean, we deal with that. But thank God when you can come to church and get encouragement in it. I mean, sometimes it's just a reminder of what you know sometimes, but it's just to get that, Sister Ann tells me she loves me all the time, and ain't that nice? And thing is, it don't get old, and I really like to hear the good things of God, you know, the positive, good, you know, that makes you want to get up and go on, you know, I was thinking, I wasn't able to play sports or anything like that, but I know about, you know, how things go. So I can't give you a first-hand testimony, but I can live vicariously in that way. if you play football or anything like that, you know, and And before you get, you prepare for the game, don't you? I mean, you're out there working and getting beat up and all that stuff like that. But you know that's part of it. But you know that coach, he's not out there telling you, oh, you're going to get beat up. You know, he's out there saying, we can do it. We can do it. The other part, you know that's going to happen. You know things are going to happen. It's just part of the deal, you know. I mean, you know, it's good when you got people that can say, we can do it, can't we? And when I say that, I know it's not us, but we know it's Jesus, because He can. But we got to let He can, don't we? No. And I was thinking of, one of the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. How is it, how come it's so easy for us to think something that, you know, we tend to think that, so-and-so don't like me. Why do we do that? And I don't know why we do that. But you know, and what I mean to say is that you know, blessed are the pure in heart. Part of that, this is not the whole sum of the matter, but part of that is giving people the benefit of the doubt, isn't it? You know, you may see me stub my toe, and I might have a moment. How many has ever had a moment? But what do? We just repent and go on, don't we? God forgive me. You know, I stubbed my toe and I might have said, one of them deals, you know. But Lord, I'll do better next time. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? I think we can do better. I believe by the power of God. Because Jesus said, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit, said the Lord. And, you know, I'm just simple enough to believe that. And I appreciate the good lessons we get. Man, don't you know that, you know, we've learned about revelations and Godhead and where the seat of Satan is and, you know, look in the mirror and all that thing, you know. And all these good things, you know, prophecy, you know, and how things going to end up, and you know, we kind of got a timeline that, you know, we kind of go by. It's not exact, and no one there is claiming that, you know, but we kind of got an outline. It may not be an exact picture, but it's a good outline, isn't it? It's a place to look to, isn't it? And then we trust in God and give us that vehicle to get us there, doesn't it? Thank God. Thank God. I wake up in the morning and I got to go do what I do, you know. And I'm getting older and sometimes I don't feel like my get up and go, but sometimes I feel like I got up and gone, you know. I keep moving, I keep going, you know. And after a while, if you keep going, once you go, hey, this is not that bad. I think I can go on some more. That's the way to serve God. You know, sometimes you get a little down, you know, something, you know, it's. And you're thinking, oh, you know, but if you really just go, just keep going, it's not that bad. And after a while, it gets better. It does get better. And then at the end of the day, you know what? I'll tell you what I hate. I love less. Y'all know what I mean. Is I'm in an attic. It's hot. I'm working. And my phone starts ringing. And somebody wants to tell me all, they won't just tell me, hey, can you go fix your air conditioner? I'm at so-and-so. They won't tell me all the details. you know, and here I'm in this hot attic, you know, and I can't see, you know, and the lighting is not very well. And so I'm trying to find a scrap piece of paper, write down what they're, you know, all that, you know, and then my you know, my pen don't want to write, and you know how it goes. And and that just, oh, that just gets me at the time. But, you know, at the end of the day, I really appreciate that business. You know, I really appreciate that. I do. I mean, I may, cause, you know, you're at the moment, you're caught up, you know, okay, you know, even though you got a smile on it, they don't see it, you know, because you're on the phone, but, you know, you're being business polite, you know, even though you don't feel like it. But after a while, you know, and let me tell you something. Sometimes I do feel like it. I don't put on business polite. I do that for me, not for them, because I need to. That's what I need to do, you know. But it, like I said, at the end of the day, there's an accomplishment. There's a feeling of, you know, we got her done, that thing. And I think that's, you know, serving God's similar to that. You know, it's first the natural, then it's the spiritual. So, you know, all I can say is let's keep going on. Let's find something. Let's put it in our minds. There's something good about God. He sent His Son. He sent His Son who came and lived and left a message and died on the cross for our sins and gave us that hope of eternal life. I appreciate that so much. Isn't that simple? Isn't that so simple? You know, just the simplicity that's in the gospel. You know, and even though, we want to learn all the ins and outs of other things and that's concerning the faith, but still holding on to that simplicity that God just allows us to rejoice in. Allows us to rejoice in. God, I praise Your name. I thank You, God, for another day of life if nothing else. Thank You, God, for God's people and the opportunity to, you know, to feel Your Spirit, you know, one more time. One more time, God. And that's why I get up in the morning and I say, God, help me get through this day. Lord, sometimes I say, Lord, save me from myself. But I know where the problem lies. A lot of things. But I know I need help too. I know I need help and I want help. I want God to help me. And I believe that He can. Let's go on with God. Oh, I'm still wired.
I've gotten way behind on testifying, Brother Weiniger, and I don't want to give that up. But anyway, I'm so thankful to be here. Missing Sunday was like a long day. Thinking about y'all, wondering what you were doing, what was being said. But I'm still rejoicing over Brother Caleb's message last week. I mean, that was so incredible. And I mean, I'm still thinking about your dream, Brother Caleb, and your words. And I'm just so thankful for our young people and the youth meeting we just had, you know, because I'm depending on them, because I'm looking forward to being here at a very old age. And if y'all aren't having church, then where am I going to go? So I do appreciate our young people, and I love them, and I just wanted to give honor and praise to God for where I'm at, that He's kept me here, I think, for like 17 years. It sure doesn't seem that long. But just recently, I got in touch with, well, everybody knows about Facebook. And And there's this family that I grew up with. I've known them since I was 4 years old. And for some reason, after we moved to Arkansas, just pretty much, you know, you get busy and life just runs with you. And you just, you barely have time to handle the here and now. And so, anyway, I just recently got back in touch with this family. They had 4 girls and 1 boy. And actually, their mom was my babysitter from the time I was 4. And my mom and their mom became best friends. And anyway, my dad and their dad got into business together in a ready-mix company. So anyway, we were a very close family. But, you know, just getting back in touch with them, you know, and I was just so excited and wanted to bring them into my life and, you know, praise God and everything. And then you have the time, you know, to go back through their, all their posts and everything and just realizing, you know, that God has saved me from so much. I'm so thankful I'm not a part of that world. What did you just call it, Brother Paul Thompson? The dirty now and now or something like that. And I thought, you know, that's such a description, you know, and just exactly what Brother Caleb talked about last week, you know. The world is going to be flooded with sin. It's already there. And I'm just so thankful for my life here in this church with all of you. And thankful for God's protection. You know, it's so sad when you know, realize what other people are faced with, what they're going through and everything, and how God has spared us. He does. He spares us constantly, continuously. I mean, you know, just like Joshua's back, you know, my mom's already got back trouble, and I was like, now here goes Joshua, and he's young, you know, but I know he's going to be okay, and I just praise God and thank him for his goodness and his blessing on our lives, for keeping us and just sheltered here in his loving arms, and I'm just thankful to be here, and I love all of y'all so much.
I want to say how thankful I am to be here tonight. I kept trying to get up, and people kept beating me to it. And then you kind of get that feeling in your head, you know, I'm just going to sit down, sit back in my seat. You know, people are getting up, no problem. I'll just kind of chill out in the back. And then it starts dealing with you a little bit. Start thinking, well, you know what? God put that in my heart for a reason. Even if it doesn't seem right at the moment, he's put that in my heart for a reason. I need to say something about it. And I just want to say how thankful I was to be able to attend all the services in the youth meeting. That really was a blessing. I didn't think I'd be able to make all of Friday and part of Thursday, but I got to make all of it. So I want to say how thankful I am for that, because it really was a wonderful meeting. Up until that point, you know, I had kind of been struggling in my life about, you know, everybody, I mean, anybody says, you know, oh, this way is easy, and this yoke is light. I mean, you know what, they haven't been around very long, because, I mean, sometimes this is not the easiest thing in the world. You know, sometimes this trail ain't, you know, going through a meadow. Sometimes this trail is going up a rocky, you know, rocky side of a mountain toward the mine shaft. I mean, it does not look good. The outcome looks bleak. But, you know, I was battling with that in my mind, you know, up to the meeting. You know, I just gotten back from Colorado, and that was just absolutely amazing. You know, it just blows my mind how you see those 14,000 foot peaks, and the valleys, the rivers, the way things wind, and the rivers, beautiful. After seeing all that, how much, and God thought of me. It really does blow your mind when you think about that. And all these things are going through my mind. Things are crazy at work and one thing after another. And I was kind of battling with these things in my heart, my mind. And, we all have a tendency to sit in our own seats, including myself, and wonder, why isn't God doing anything for me? I come to service, three times a week, and I'm faithful, and I'm here all the time. Why doesn't God bless me? And then it kind of dawned on me, why don't you try to do something for me? Why don't you actually apply yourself? And it started getting me thinking about relationships and things like that. Because what we have with God is a relationship. It is what, it's basically, he's my boyfriend. That's kind of weird. But, he's my friend, and I want to have a good relationship. That came out totally wrong. I apologize for that. I really do. But, he's my friend. I want to have a good, healthy, strong relationship with him. And I started thinking about, okay, let's put it this way. Me and Tara, me and my girlfriend, I want to have a good relationship with her. But, to have a good relationship, both parties have to be trying to help the other. And I don't, a relationship doesn't work if you sit on the couch and holler, bring me the pizza and bring me the remote control. I'm going to sit here and while you clean the house. That's not a very healthy relationship at all. And it's just me thinking, if God is trying this much, God is obviously trying. I'm here. He's using me. He's brought me here. Why am I not trying more? Why am I not trying to apply myself more? And I know it's easy, after a youth meeting to say that. Everybody knows after a youth meeting, it peaks out and then it kind of goes back down. And that's just how youth meetings work. It's always worked that way, as long as I can remember, as long as everybody I talk to remembers. And it got me to thinking, what keeps me here? What really keeps me rooted here? Is it my family? No, not really, because, I'm 21. I could leave if I wanted to. What really keeps me here? And it got me thinking, it's a commitment. This is a commitment. I have something invested in this. I remember, going in my friend's car when I was in high school. I didn't have a car, and I just put my feet up on the console, no big deal. I was like, get your feet off the car. What are you doing? And it's like, well, it's his car. Who cares? I might put my feet up on the console. But when I got my own car, no. You don't put your feet on the console. No, you're going to take your shoes off. You're going to beat them off. You're going to put them in the trunk, and you're going to walk barefoot to the front seat. You are not getting in my car with dirty feet. And that got me to thinking too, once you invest yourself in something, it makes it hard to leave. We've seen so many young people leave, so many older people leave, and it makes you wonder, how can they leave? Where did they go? Because they don't have enough invested in this, including myself. Now, I really need to invest myself more in this, try to be more of a part, and that's how you're going to stay in this, that's how I'm going to stay in this, that you really invest yourself to being more of a part. It just really does my heart good. Every time I go to youth meeting, you always go there. I think, it's just me. Look at them do-gooders up in their long skirts. They're putting on a show. But, get to it and no, they're not. No, they're not. They are really striving. These people are really pulling. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I remember a time when I didn't want to be sitting in these pews either. I was sitting here. My mind was somewhere else. And it got me... It's always somewhere else. Your mind, it just flutters off. And you got to thinking, like I said, I was in Colorado. Back in Colorado, thinking, I want to hit that trail next time. I want to do this. I want to do that. You really have to apply yourself. It's easy to sit there and look in your phone. It's easy to sit there in your seat and just wonder, I wish God would really bless me. But I'm not going to go up front. I'm just going to sit here. Even the pastor says move, I'm going to sit right here. What kind of attitude is that? I want to have an attitude that's easily broken. An attitude, and that's easy to say, especially after a youth meeting. I want to be broken. Yeah. But, I really do. You actually have to make up your mind that I want to be broken. I want to be used. I want to be a part of this. This is a great thing we're a part of. This is a body of Christ. This is something, how can you not go to that youth meeting and think, I'm part of something greater. There's something going on in this country. There's something going on in between these churches that there's something better coming down the line at us. But we have to apply ourselves. We really have to apply ourselves in anything, a job, school. How can you expect to do well if you don't apply yourselves? How can you expect to really get anything out of it if you don't apply yourselves? That's what I really want to do, is apply myself to this. And it's one of the songs that was going through my head, you know. Like, you to have, to really apply yourself and get something from God, your heart has to be in the right place. And my mind started going back to the, you know, that parable that Jesus told about, you know, throwing the seeds, where he threw the seeds at, you know, in the briars and the tilled up ground. And got, if anybody's done any gardening or any, you know, watched a movie, you always seen those people out there with the plow. You know, getting the ground ready, getting ready for something better. You know, if you throw a seed on a hard ground, it's not going to grow. You know, birds will pick it up. It's not going to go anywhere. If you till up that ground and let it take root, you know, you have to get your heart ready for this. You can't just expect right off the bat, you know, I want to do something with this. You have to get your heart ready. You have to break yourself down. You have to break the soil, let the seeds take plant. Then you got to have the rain of God, let it take root. And one of the songs I was going through is, in my mind was, you know, I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but one of my favorite songs is, you know, Jesus, sweet Jesus, I surrender control. And it gets to a certain point where you do have to surrender control. You know, you want to say, no, well, I surrender control, but not really. You know, I want to kind of poke them along a little bit. Then that song goes, Jesus, sweet Jesus, I surrender control. Captain, great captain, take the helm of my soul. I mean, I want to take the helm of my soul. I was watching a movie about ships the other day, and, you know, those old sail ships, I mean, you had that big old wheel. You really had to, you know, hold on to it if you're going to get whipped around. And, you know, you got to think, you know, how much pride, how much you'd have to break down and say, you know what, here, take it. I know I'd be like, oh, hell, take it, but I want to kind of tap it along a little bit. I want to just go east, southeast. And, but, you know, you really say, no, Jesus, sweet Jesus, I surrender control. Captain, great captain, take the helm of my soul. I mean, that's what I want to do. I want him to take the helm of my soul. I want to be part of this. I want to be behind him. And when he tells me to go, go. And when he wants me to get up, get up. I mean, kind of like tonight. I wanted to get up for the first time. So I feel kind of, you know, kind of emotion. He had his Bible out. He had getting his microphone ready. And I was fixing to get up, and Sister June got up. So I was like, okay, I'm sitting me down. And then she sat down, so I fixed to get up. Then Brother Paul got up. And I'm like, oh, that's just, it's not in the cards for me to get up tonight. And then God started dealing with me. He just started saying, I was texting Caleb, and he said, well, there's your chance, go ahead and get up. And I said, well, the moment's gone. And I said, the moment's not there anymore. And I was thinking, why not? The moment didn't go nowhere. Why not me? I mean, I started thinking about that. You know, why not me? Why shouldn't I get up? Why shouldn't I leave anything? If you don't think you have anything to contribute when you get up, all you got to say is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be a part of it. You know, well, that's such a blessing just to hear that in itself, that, you know, you have brothers and sisters of like mind and of like accord who are running in the same race as you are. That, I mean, that's encouraging. And if you don't, I mean, when I see people get up and just say, I'm thankful to be here. Somebody who normally doesn't get up, when Lisa would get up and say, I'm just thankful to be here. That blessed me. When Claire would get up and just say, I'm thankful to be here. That does something for me because I know I can see progress and that they're trying. They're trying to apply themselves. They're trying to do more with their lives. And that, it really helps me. It's like going up front, watching people break down. And, you know, I can see them kind of standing there, you know, kind of, and everybody else is getting prayed for. And I finally start to see, you know, something is changing in their eyes. You can start feeling their heart to tender up a little bit. And then you start seeing tears roll down their face. Especially people you know. I mean, it just really blesses my heart. You know, seeing people you know. Seeing Elisha get the Holy Ghost in the youth meeting. Seeing Brother Joseph get touched during the youth meeting. It just really blesses my heart. You know, seeing people you care for. Seeing people that you put your effort in. People you grew up with get a touch. I mean, nothing gives me a touch more than giving Caleb a hug after he gets a good touch. That really blesses my heart. And seeing my brother apply himself and break himself down to get a touch from the Lord. Any of my brothers, you know, I had a brother from Wichita, and, you know, I saw him up there playing trumpet. And, you know, he just kind of his own little world. I said, I'm going to go give him a hug. He looks like he needs a hug. And I like hugs. And so I gave him a big old hug. And next thing you know, I start feeling him tremble a little bit. I knew what was going on. I was like, you know, it's amazing what a hug can do. It's amazing what you can show of your brother. You know, I care about you. I want you to be a part of this. I want to be here for you. I want to be one of the pillars that holds up your roof when things start going wrong, when storms are raging around you. I want to be one of the people that are holding your arms up. One of my favorite scriptures when I think it was Moses, when his hands got tired, they were losing the battle. And then Aaron and who else? Her. Okay, yeah, him. or her, was holding up, started holding up his hands. And they started winning again. His arms got tired, and they started losing the battle again. But they kept holding his hands, the Israelites. Well, I want to be the fellow that holds up my brother's hands. I want to be one that helps give him that encouragement. When things get rough, like I said, this isn't always, you know, going through a pasture. This can be a rough time sometimes. The way the world weighs on you, weighs on me, weighs on my shoulders. It really burdens me down sometimes. But you know, when I have somebody come and say, "Brother, I love you. Brother, I love you. Brother, I care for you." You know, you get a random text message, "Brother, I'm thinking about you." Even somebody you don't even talk to him for. I got a buddy in Godfrey, Illinois. He texted me the other day. And just don't want to talk to you. I just want to say, just want to tell you I'm thinking about you and praying for you. Man, it does my heart good to know that people are praying for me. People are thinking about it. People are holding my arms up. And in turn, I want to hold their arms up. I want to help be a pillar in this. That's one of my favorite songs, to be a pillar in the house of the Lord. What an honor this life would be if I stand uprightly. I can't remember the rest of the words, but you get the idea of it. I just want to be a pillar. I want to help hold up this building. I want to help hold up this church in honor. And Alex, I just want to, I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Well, Zach, you inspired me. Because I was sitting here thinking, no, I'm not going to get up. I'm like him. I'm sitting here thinking, no, you know, it's been a while since I've been here. But I am thankful to be here, and the Lord has blessed me in the past couple months. And I'm sure Natalie's thankful I'm here, too. It was quite a blessing Sunday night when I went up to front with her to pray with her. And the brothers prayed for me as well. But I'm just thankful that I'm here, and hopefully I have been blessed the past couple months. I recently rededicated my life to God in February, and He has opened doors for me that seemed welded shut. But I am thankful that my mother moved down here and offered me a place to stay, and I just need y'all's prayers. Thanks.
close on a high note. So let's close on a high note. But we got Sunday dinner day, I think. Is that right? All right. And let's look forward to that. And I don't know. Is it going to be that? I don't know. So Smith might know, but I have no idea. But we just carry on. But anyway, let's thank God for this service tonight. And pray that he'll keep his hand up on his people and go with us, bring us back Sunday, and be praying. Always be praying. Keep praying. So anyway, let's thank God tonight for this service. Oh, God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this time, for your goodness, good words, good song, Lord, good music. Lord, thank you. Help us to keep looking to you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Precious Savior, thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.